Welcome to the very first episode of The Political Nomad. I'm your host, Josh Gillespie. I want to thank you all for joining me today. This is the very first podcast, like I said, of a brand new beginning in podcasting for me. I had a podcast about 6 years ago that I ended. If you've followed me over here, if you know me that way, that's great. I'm glad that you're a part of this. So this is going to be kind of a new experiment for me in terms of topic. The last few years, gosh, probably going back more than a decade, really, I've been kind of going through my own, for lack of a better term, because it's kind of loaded, but I'll use it anyway, political deconstruction. And that's what this podcast will explore. Not mine alone, but political deconstruction or a feeling of a political ambiguity, of a political homelessness. You don't necessarily align with the Republicans or the Democrats. You don't feel like you want to say that you're an independent. But that's what we're going to explore with this podcast. And so I want to give you a little bit of my background and how I got to where I am today. I was raised in a Christian conservative home. I grew up wanting to be Alex P. Keaton. Now, for those of you who are old enough to get that reference, that is a Family Ties reference from NBC from the late 80s, early 90s. He was a character played by Michael J. Fox. He was the token young Republican for that show. He was supposed to be the kind of the butt of jokes, but he ended up being a darling on the show. And I wanted to be Alex P. Keaton when I grew up. And I've had a lifelong interest in politics. It's in my blood, truth be told. I am related to a president. I'll pat myself on the back there. Not the greatest of presidents. It's Warren Harding. Teapot Dome scandal for the win, right? Anyway, so I've had this interest in politics for a long time. And my first job out of college, first real job out of college, was working for a member of Congress. And I worked out in D.C. I worked for the Committee on Government Reform and Oversight. And I started there just before 9/11. That's one of my memories that will stick with me for the rest of my life. I honestly don't remember what D.C. was like prior to 9/11 because I was only there for a couple of weeks. Met my wife out there. We moved back to Indiana, and I worked in party politics and with especially with an upstart campaign in 2004. It truly was upstart. That's probably being fairly generous to that situation. But it was a good experience to have. Then I went to work for a political consultant before starting my own business and launching a very successful right-of-center state-based blog. Now, blogging in Indiana in the late aughts. Am I aging myself for using that term? Anyway, blogging in Indiana in the early 2000s, we shall say, 2006, 2007, 2008, was kind of a big thing. Blogging was a big thing nationally, but it was definitely, especially political blogs in Indiana, they were a hot topic back in the day. And I launched a website that was, in many ways, kind of riffing off of what Red State had been doing nationally, what Eric Erickson and the guys had been doing there. And it gained some notoriety. It won some awards. It got nationally recognized and attended conventions and did all the things. And I launched my first podcast with this blog. The website was called Hoosier Access. Very proud of that, just because of what me and my team were able to accomplish, because it wasn't just me. I knew that for that website to be successful, I needed to surround myself with people who had the appropriate backgrounds, that they weren't just some keyboard warrior in their mother's basement, but that they were people who were involved in politics, and whether it was consulting or they were party people. And to say one of the original co-founders of that website is actually a sitting congressman today. So, you know, again, it was a little bit of a successful website. But even after I launched that, you know, I was able to work on a bipartisan project with someone who was considered, and this was her quote, the meanest woman in politics, at least in Indiana politics. And it was through that experience that, and this will sound weird, but I realized that, you know, Democrats weren't bad people. In fact, she has become a pretty good friend. And I enjoyed that experience working with her and getting to know some of her friends who I would later debate on radio and TV, acting as a political pundit myself, representing the right, and her friends, or her herself representing the left. But I eventually went back to work for Congress. In 2012, I worked the GOP convention in Tampa and got to see Mitt Romney nominated as the GOP contender for president that year. That was a great time. And I had also started another podcast, a different podcast from the Hoosier Access podcast. Actually, I had pretty much ended the Hoosier Access podcast and started a separate podcast called Gillespie, which aired on FTRradio.com. And that ended in about 2013. It ended actually not too long after I started working in Indiana state government, where I worked for separately in the Mike Pence administration when he was governor of Indiana. And I also worked in the Eric Holcomb administration, who is the current governor of Indiana. And I worked for a couple of different state agencies. So you could see that I have basically built a career in politics, in GOP-centered politics. And now that I don't consider myself a Republican, that might make things a little difficult, don't you think? Well, moving on from that, you have to wonder how, with all that I've done, how did I get to the point where I am now? And truth be told, the seeds were probably sown around 2006. Now, I love music. Always have. It's always been a part of my family. It's been a part of my life. And one particular artist had a huge impact on me, first in college and then later in life. His name is Derek Webb. In college, he was part of a band called Caveman's Call. I've actually had him on twice on my previous podcast. I've hosted a house show for him in my home, and since he's gone solo, and his music has had a significant impact on me, especially lyrically. And he released his third album called Mockingbird in about 2006, and the lyrics from that album made me uncomfortable. And they made connections that I hadn't made before. He was able to lyrically try to needle that connection between Christian beliefs and political alignment. And with lines such as, there are two great lies that I've heard. The day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will not surely die. And that Jesus Christ was a white middle-class Republican. And if you want to be saved, you have to learn to be like him. He goes on into the chorus to say that my first allegiance is not to a flag, a country, or a man. My first allegiance is not to democracy or blood. It's to a king and a kingdom. And that song has stuck with me. Stuck with me like you wouldn't believe. And I'm grateful for that. And he had other songs on that album, like Mockingbird, which is obviously the self-titled track, and a song called A New Law. And I'll get to more of those in a bit. But it was taking what I'm hearing in these lyrics, and it wasn't just in his album Mockingbird. He followed that up with an album called The Ringing Bell, which really which honestly, I think he would consider was his political album. And then he followed that up with another album called Stockholm Syndrome, which again delved further into identity politics, how we treat our fellow man, regardless of what color and race they are, what gender they are, how they identify, you know? And he sees it's these topics that were, as a Republican in many regards, kind of scary to touch, but here he was just pushing against that grain and making me really think. And so I would take what I would hear from him and what I eventually started hearing from other artists that I listened to, what I was hearing from the pulpit, and comparing that to what I was hearing from politicians and from people who I consider part of my party. And it became increasingly clear to me that I could not separate my faith from my, that I needed to separate my faith from my politics, that politics had it intruded upon my faith. Now, not everyone's journey is going to be like mine. And just so you know, further episodes, you know, I'll be talking to people who haven't had a faith journey that has led them to where they are politically. They've had completely different experiences. And it's those experiences that I want to look into. But for me, it was a faith issue. And so when I'm looking at issues like general care for people, you know, be they orphans, widows, people who are fatherless, the foreigners, you know, you can easily find scripture references that address these issues, you know, especially when it comes to just even whether it's taking care of the environment, whether it's taking care of your fellow man, whether it's addressing issues like racial reconciliation. You know, I started listening to the Bible. Now, I've read the Bible, you know, pretty much my whole life, but it's another thing when you actually have it read to you in some regards. And maybe that's just this, you know, what I believe to be God's Holy Spirit working in me. But I would hear verses, whether that was in Old, New, or New Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, that would hit on these issues of racial reconciliation, of how we deal with foreigners from a strange land. How are we supposed to treat them? And it made me think about you know, the immigration issue on America's southern border, and how we tend to give a lot of focus to the southern border, but not so much concern to the northern border. And when I'm seeing things play out with how people tried to misconstrue what the Black Lives Matter situation or the movement was about, Black Lives Movement was about, and I think about the issues of climate change in regards to scripture, because we are expressly commanded in the Bible to take care of the planet. This is, if you are a Christian, you believe that this planet, regardless of whether it was done in 6 days or millions of years, this is a creation by God. He has put us in charge of it. And maybe we're not doing the best job. So what are the appropriate ways that we need to address these things? You know, the thing that the parties have done is that they have created this us versus them situation. And I didn't like it. And so, and they also appealed to the absolute extremes of their bases. I didn't like that. And so, you know, I started looking at these things. Now, both sides have good ideas, Republicans and Democrats. Yes, they have good ideas. They also have some very horrible ideas, to the point that sometimes they look like they're two sides of the same coin. That's how bad both parties' ideas are. So I realized eventually that I was politically homeless. And honestly, it was very freeing. And that's what this podcast will be about. Exploring what it means to be politically homeless, discussing the journey, or maybe you've gone through a political deconstruction, to use a loaded term that I said before, and reconstruction. And maybe you're just switched parties. The point is, you're not where you used to be. Many people are on the same journey as they see the state of politics in America. I hope that these casual conversations that I have over the next coming weeks and months or years, however long this lasts, grow into something greater, and we can have real, honest conversations about real issues as well. Remove the lens of the extreme and really dig into issues that have become partisan, but really shouldn't be. Finally, because I've stated that music has played such an important role in my journey, I'm going to be posting a weekly playlist for each episode. I mean, why not? I like music. I hope you like music. And so, from this week's show, you'll definitely be getting some Derek Webb. But you'll also get some hip-hop. A hip-hop artist named Propaganda. Don't let the name fool you. You'll get some Green Day, some Beatles. Anyway, I'll be posting this. I'll posting a link to Spotify. Hopefully you'll check it out. You'll be able to get those playlists, however, when you subscribe to my newsletter. Oh, yes. I'll be sending out a weekly newsletter with show notes and links I've found interesting, and maybe some occasional thoughts. You can sign up right now at joshgillespie.com, and I'll be sure a link is in the podcast description. Be sure to follow me on the socials as well. Hit me up on Twitter, at Josh Gillespie, as well as at The Nomad Pod. You can catch me on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNomadPod, and also on Instagram at The Political Nomad. All of these links and more can be found at joshgillespie.com, and I'll also have them in the description of the podcast of this episode. And leave me comments and leave me questions. I want to hear from you. And if I get enough questions, then maybe I can make this a weekly segment. You know, I would love to kind of have that, you know, sort of interactive, but not really interactive, Q&A. But I know that there are more people out there like me who have gone through or are going through a political journey that they are looking at the political landscape in America and thinking there has to be either something better or there has to be something more. And there is. But every good journey, every good road trip needs road trip music and a good playlist. And you'll get that when you sign up for the newsletter. Anyway, thanks for joining me on the first episode of The Political Nomad. If you're feeling politically lost, maybe this is a home for you. I'd love to have you back. We have some really great guests coming up. I'm actually really excited about our first few. I mean, of course I'm saying that. It's you know, I want you to come back. But truly, one person I'm having on, he ran a campaign against one of my bosses, and he has had quite the journey himself. And he is not a person who has a spiritual background. So it'll definitely be interesting to hear his take, especially since for the last year, he and his family have been traveling the world. And you have to imagine that traveling the world has an impact on your perspective. Anyway, we'll have some additional great guests coming up. I think you'll be very interested in what they have to say. So until next week, this has been Josh Gillespie, The Political Nomad. Thanks for joining me.